We ask that there be no eating, drinking, or smoking on board.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 39 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Banks.
And I'm Brittany.
And we're here to give you the rundown of all the latest happenings from the past week over at attractionsmagazine.com and in our lives in general. Now, preface this, not sure how the audio quality does sound right now, but I am not in Orlando currently. I am in Virginia. We are visiting my wife's parents' place for the week. So the Wi-Fi is not as strong as we have in Florida. So if there's any sort of audio issues that you may hear, I apologize ahead of time.
You sound good on my end, so here's hoping.
Perfect. Talk about it in. So let's go ahead real quick and talk about what's good. So Brittany, what is good?
Well, your audio is good now. Right when I said it wasn't good, it cut out. But we're just hanging out, you know, same old, working from home, taking care of the pup. I've been watching through Avatar: The Last Airbender because it finally got put on Netflix. I'm in book three. It's fantastic. Nice. I've watched it all before, but Josh has never seen it. So this has been an interesting experience to get to see him watch that. I finished God of War last week. Mm-hmm. Incredible game. Great soundtrack too. And I pre-ordered The Last of Us 2, which comes out on Friday. Going to be very sad, probably. Can't wait to cry. and just playing Animal Crossing like usual. You know, same old, same old.
Yeah, Sydney has been... I have given Sydney full reign of design on my island, Animal Crossing. So she has been spending better part of like 4 days completely... obliterating my island the way I knew and love it, and she's rebuilding it in a way that she's not telling me, and it's going to be a surprise. I just know that it is going to be very Disneyland-esque.
Cool.
So I'm excited to see what she does with the island. There has been a lot of gaming news this past week, and we can't really talk about it all, or we'd be here the entire hour talking about it, but of course, you know, PS5 was announced, and several games, like I think the Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Yeah,
I'm excited for Resident Evil 8 Village.
It looks so cool.
I mean, you can check out, you know, what are some good gaming sites? Kotaku,
IGN, GameSpot. There are specialized like Nintendo outlets, Games Radar in the UK, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, you know, you check out the gaming news there. So we're just, like I mentioned, we're in Virginia right now. That's where we're spending our week. We went and stayed at the Legoland, the new Pirate Island Hotel. I'll talk about that later in the episode. And we're just, you know, everything's reopening now. So lots more to get out and do, which I'm glad to be able to take a week away and take it off and just relax. So much has been going on. So this is going to be my vacation week.
Yeah, we could all use a break. I'm glad you're getting one.
Well, we do have some things to talk about in terms of what's going on in the reopening world of the theme parks. Let's go ahead and jump right into news in the queue.
All right, first things first, Universal City Walk Hollywood has reopened for limited operations. The park isn't quite open yet, but you can go enjoy all the fun of City Walk Hollywood from 12 to 8 p.m. daily. A select number of places are open. Let's see, 8 dining locations and 3 retail stores are currently open. And complimentary self-parking is available, but valet is not. They follow the same rules as most of the other parks. You know, face mask required, temperature checks required. Anything over 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit, you have to not enter the premises, that kind of thing. No word on when the park will open over there. But City Walk's open, so that's good. Right.
It's good to see some of the California places, especially the big ones like Universal, start to reopen their doors. Of course, ours, City Walk, opened before we even knew when our parks were opening. So this seems to be kind of par for the course for Universal. Yep. So I would imagine we'll talk about Disneyland here next. But yeah, I would probably imagine that Universal Hollywood would probably open its theme park maybe closer to the end of June, early July.
Yeah, I mean, it only took them – a week or so to open, or like, yeah, it was like a week announcing wise to open City Walk and then announce Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's been a few days now. It's been 5 days since Hollywood opened. And I don't really, because we're not out there and we're not listening to the city meetings and stuff, we don't know exactly the procedures that they have to go through, especially because the governor, I think, closed the state to all gatherings of 100 plus people for the next year. So who knows?
Right.
But we'll keep an eye on it.
Definitely.
Disneyland, however, has announced a reopening date for July 17th. And it will go into phased reopening. So this is pending state and local government approval. So they have submitted this plan, but it has not reached final approval yet. Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa and Disney's Paradise Pier Hotel will reopen on July 23rd, with Disneyland Park and Disney California Adventure Park reopening on July 17th, which is 65 years to the day the Disneyland Park first opened. Downtown Disney will begin reopening on July 9th.
Yeah, it's good to see Disneyland, because now that Disneyland is submitting plans for reopening, and I know they just announced today or late yesterday, Hong Kong Disneyland is getting ready to reopen its doors, which, if correct me if I'm wrong, it just leaves officially Tokyo and Paris, correct?
Yeah.
And I know I've seen photos from Twitter of Tokyo preparing for a reopening with markers already put down outside the park.
Mm-hmm.
And cast members are already there walking around. So it may not be announced, but it feels like that they are starting to get ready to reopen their doors. So it's, a lot of talk about, is it too early? Especially here in America, where the numbers are still pretty steady. They aren't really going down. I will say, though, going to the theme park since they've reopened the few times that I have, especially at Universal, I have felt very, very safe. And if guests follow the rules that these theme parks are setting forth, guests will be safe as well. I have no real doubt about that. It's just making sure you follow those masks on, staying socially distant, and just being smart.
Yeah. And for the international parks, these reopenings are for local guests. So if you're already in the country that the park is located in, because most countries still have travel bans going on for people outside to come in. So don't be planning that international trip just yet.
Yeah.
Let's see what else is in here. Disneyland Resort will be doing what Walt Disney World is doing as far as managing attendance through a theme park reservation system. They will likely be the same, I would imagine, using the same technology. All guests, including annual pass holders, will have to get a reservation for park entry in advance, in addition to their admission. Mm-hmm. And I believe plans to support physical distancing, increased cleaning measures will be implemented as part of this reopening. And they have not specifically said, but it is expected that they will also have temperature screening and face mask requirements as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine that they would have those same kind of things implemented that Disney World is going to. And it's kind of hard to even talk about what we think, how we think Disney's going to do, because really all we have is Universal and SeaWorld and Legoland here, because Walt Disney World doesn't really open up until July 11th and July 15th. So before July 17th. So we'll get all this Disney stuff all at once, and then we'll finally get to see how things are done and if they're done well.
Yeah. I mean, just taking a look at Shanghai's reopening, it seemed to be very seamless, no trouble. Everyone was following the rules. I'm hopeful, but based on this next thing we're about to talk about, I am nervous about the general public's reaction to the rules and everything and being expected to follow the rules.
Exactly.
And leading into that, SeaWorld Orlando reopened this past week, and our buddy Theron went and did not have a good time.
He's not the only one.
I watched a couple of vlogs from just various people in the theme park community, and they experienced much of what Theron said. his main points of experience were that the app was not cooperative, signage was confusing, social distancing was not enforced, and masks were not enforced. And that's actually really disappointing to see, because I thought SeaWorld's presentation to the city task force for reopening was good. I thought it was very well planned out and very like expansive and explained everything super clearly. It seemed like they had everything set in stone, and to see them not enforce any of it makes me never want to go to SeaWorld until it's totally safe, like there's a shot and everything.
Wholeheartedly agree. Because I've seen the team members forcing and telling guests to please cover your nose or put the mask on if you're not eating. And it's worked very, very well there. I went to SeaWorld once, and it was the day before the reopening day, because they invited us out there to get video and do some interviews about the new procedures. And what I saw out there was good. I thought was going to be a good opening based on what I was seeing in person. Of course, we were just there as media. There were no guests there. But I guess I really should have thought about it, because when we were doing the interviews, you can check our video out, but the park president was not wearing a mask during our interview. And it was kind of like, that should have given me a red flag. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand. You're going to lay the rules down and say that masks are required. You have to wear a mask. Then you have to communicate with your ambassadors and make sure that they know that they need to step forward and confront guests about this mask, because it's not just, an aesthetic thing. This is for safety. They need to be able to enforce this.
Well, I think they also need to know how to wear them properly and demonstrate that safety, because one thing that Theron commented on was that some ambassadors were either not wearing their mask, like it was around their chin, or it was only covering up their mouth and not their nose, which defeats the whole purpose of it.
Right.
But also I think, and this was something that has stuck with me since I watched their presentation to the task force, was that they were asked what they would do if confronted with a guest who would not wear the mask when asked to. And they wouldn't give a definitive answer. Like, we're going to kick them out. We're going to make sure that they put their mask on. We're going to keep asking them to put their mask on, or we'll get park security. None of that. They just said something along the lines of, oh, we like to think that our guests would want to follow our rules. This shows that they don't care.
No, they don't. They're so, I think it's because they're so scared that the guests may turn around and try to sue them. And SeaWorld's already had enough bad press when it comes to, the empty the tankers out there. They don't really want to draw more attention to the park because someone went to a lawyer because they were forced to wear a mask. I can see why they're probably not being as forceful, but being not forceful is giving them even more bad press than they probably would have expected if they were being forceful.
And I think if you don't believe in the mask thing, that's fine. Make it optional and highly recommend it, and then let people choose instead of.
That's exactly what Legoland does. They highly encourage it, but it's not being forced. But at the same time, they do have masks that they are giving out at the Legoland entrance if you would like a mask. And I think that's a great way to do it. If you're not going to enforce it, give them the option.
Yeah. Instead of doing this performative, masks are required, temperature checks, da da da, but you're not going to enforce it. That it seems like a waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, I'm disappointed. I probably won't be going to SeaWorld anytime soon, or even Busch Gardens, because I even heard some bad things about Busch Gardens in Tampa because they also reopened. So it's going to be a little while before I go to a SeaWorld or Busch Gardens park.
I hope, because they've been getting kind of the same reaction all around, people upset that they're not enforcing the rules and stuff. So I hope that their team sees it and they're like, okay, we need to fix this. We need to adjust our expectations of our ambassadors and, really enforce it if they're going to actually have it be a rule.
And one last thing before we move on.
Yeah.
I just want to also say, like, yes, a lot of people are being vocal about them not enforcing the rules, but then you have the other side of the coin are also being super vocal about, yay, SeaWorld, not enforcing it. Thank you for letting us choose what we want to do. It's like, how you're going to upset one group one way or another.
Yeah. Just
do what you were saying that you were going to do and enforce the masks.
Yep. Not hard. All right, next up, Banks and I manifested another thing on the podcast. do you guys remember when we talked about how Six Flags was using this new touchless technology to do bag checks and security checks? We were like, why isn't Disney doing this? This seems like a big money thing that Disney would do. Well, now they're doing it.
There you go. When you have once again wheeled things into existence.
We did. We're magical. We can make stuff happen. They've started it at Disney Springs, but it's a new contactless body scanner that will screen guests safely and quickly without ever having to have them open their bags or have a cast member reach in and touch their belongings. And it's supposed to check over 3,600 people per hour. Wow. And guests can walk in side by side or in groups, and the scanners can detect all sorts of things. But they're made to detect guns and other types of weapons and display where the potential threat is on the person's body, so security can deal with it.
It's such a no-brainer, especially in this day and age of, you know, trying not to have other people touching your things. Like we had talked about when we were willing this into existence. You know, security at Disney, they are very hands-on. And yeah. Universal, I've really appreciated their security process lately, where they're doing the kind of airport conveyor belt scanner. So you don't really have to have anyone touch your bags. You just put it on the belt, walk through, you're boom, you're done. And it keeps lines moving. This is going to be a big game changer for going to the Disney parks. It's going to make things quicker and easier to get into the parks, because, you know, leading up to the closures, you know, the lines at the theme parks just for security were always insane. And you always try to find that, you know, I don't have a bag, go to the no bag line. And even the no bag line sometimes were still backed up because you still had to empty your pockets out. Yep. So this is just going to be such a huge time saver, both for customers and guests.
I mean, I'm the type where I always have to take a bag to the parks, whether it's like a backpack or a purse or whatever, because I carry like wallet, water bottle, stuff like that, sunglasses. And it's always a pain to go like watch all my friends who don't carry bags just walk through. And then I have to stand there while someone opens up every individual pocket in my purse or my backpack. Mm-hmm. And this is just so much more convenient. And I like the universal way too, where you just throw your bag in the bin and send it on its way. But this seems awesome. I'm very excited about it. I hope they implement it at all the other parks and not just Springs. But this is also, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first bag check at Springs ever. I don't think. They've never checked bags at Springs before.
Yeah. So, but it also could just be a testing ground for them. Who knows if they're going to keep them at Springs.
Right.
This could just be a test for what they want to put at the parks when they reopen next month. But yeah, I mean, they could easily keep it at Springs, because if it, you know, just walk right through, you don't even have to stop and wait.
Yeah. And you can walk through in groups. You don't have to leave your party while another one gets scanned or whatever. So it's convenient.
Exactly. Real quick before we move on here, for those listening to the audio version, I didn't mention at the top of the show, but you can watch live streams of us recording this episode. Usually we do it every Sunday, but this week we did on Monday because I was traveling. So Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I did want to mention Claude in our YouTube chat here. Just got here wondering why I'm talking to a magic eight ball. For those watching the video version, it is not a magic eight ball. This is my blue snowball microphone. Hopefully I'll get another microphone in the future, but this is kind of my portable microphone.
It's cool. I like it. Mine is definitely not portable. It's speaking the future and news through him. Ooh. Ooh, yes. That's how we manifest things. We're going to talk about something else and then watch it get announced in like a week or two.
Maybe I shouldn't get rid of this. This is what manifests these ideas into the world.
Oh, man. Hong Kong Disneyland announced its reopening date. You alluded to this earlier. It will reopen to guests on June 18th. That's this Thursday, if I've got my days right.
I believe you are correct.
And the park will reopen with new and enhanced cleaning and health procedures, as all parks do. And like the U.S. Disney parks, this park will have a reservation system that guests will have to do in order to visit the park, in addition to their admission. Their annual pass holders are called Magic Access members, so they will have to do this reservation thing as well. They will have specific time periods, though. So Magic Access members can make their reservation 8 days in advance of their trip, and general guests can make a reservation 7 days before their trip. And if you have a guest in your party that is under 3 years of age, they get free admission as usual and don't require the advance reservation. Reservations will open. Well, Magic Access members were able to make reservations starting today, and then general guests can make reservations starting tomorrow, 12 p.m. Hong Kong time. The park will see some social distancing markers placed throughout the park, limited capacity at attractions and shows, cleaning stuff, social distancing in queues. Character experiences that require close interaction and close-up photos will be temporarily suspended, but other character experiences that can accommodate social distancing will be available. So there will be options for you if you like seeing the characters.
I think I saw a video tweeted out of the characters riding Dumbo as a special little moment for guests to see them.
That's so cute. I love that. Guests will also be required to wear face masks during their visit, except for when eating at dining locations. That was specific language. They said something about eateries. I just changed it to dining establishments or dining locations, because that's easier to read. But so I find it interesting that they're only allowed to take their masks off there and not just when they're eating in general. And temperature screenings will be required upon arrival to the park. They didn't say anything about cast member requirements in this news bulletin that they put out, but I would assume that the same rules apply.
I would have to. And, you know, we've talked about these same rules for all the Disney parks and all the parks in general. So there's really nothing more we can elaborate on. We just can wish them all the best. Shanghai did a good job. I'm sure they'll do a good job as well. That culture over there is very respectful to the rules, especially when it comes to masks. So I don't really foresee any sort of issues happening in Hong Kong. What I do want to talk about, though, real quick, since we're on the Hong Kong subject, is Brittany. Have you seen the photos of this castle?
I have, but I want to hear what you think about it before I say what I think about it.
I am. I don't know. I like, it looks cool because, like, it's like a new castle, but at the same time, like, you look at the castle and you see the old Sleeping Beauty castle on the bottom, just repainted, all these extensions. And it's like bringing in elements of all the princesses. What are they called? The Enchanted Storybook Castle?
It's called the Castle of Magical Dreams.
Enchanted Storybook Castle, I think, is Shanghai.
It's Shanghai,
So it's the first castle to incorporate more than just one princess at a Disney park. And I think I want to lean toward the side of liking it, because it is unique for this park, and it helps to now keep this park from just being a carbon copy castle of California. It gives it its own identity, which I can appreciate.
I don't know why, but I look at it and I get like Princess Jasmine vibes off of it as a whole.
Yeah.
But a lot of people online think it's ugly. The different turrets, like the toppers of the turrets, throw me off, just because it's not like symmetrical and unified in its design, but I know that that's the point. I can't criticize it, because all we've seen other than Theron's most recent construction report are renderings. So I would have to wait and see it completed in person with like general lighting, like someone's iPhone picture versus like a nicely framed and lit Disney press photo to make my decision. But I also want to like it. I am also on that side of liking it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, the whole of the discussion on photos, update photos we've seen from our castle in Florida. I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
You've seen that, right?
Yes. If we can get a photo update of that, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, our castle, if you follow at BioReconstruct on Twitter, he's posted some aerial photos of our castle, the progress of the current repainting of it. And it's a jarring difference. That's all I'm going to say. Go check out the photos. Maybe in the future podcast, we will talk about them, but it's interesting.
Yeah. Here's some more interesting news, something that we've been waiting for a while now. Yeah. Star Wars Celebration Anaheim 2020 has finally been canceled. they said, as a result of the impact of COVID-19, they are making the decision to cancel it. And the convention was originally scheduled to take place on August 27th through the 30th of this year at Anaheim Convention Center. And now it will take place on August 18th through the 21st, 2022, also in Anaheim, which makes me wonder if it was going to take place in Anaheim this time and next time.
Right. Or if they just decided to keep it there because it had to get canceled.
Right. Because normally they move between places.
Right.
Yeah, it's a shame that it got canceled. I went to Star Wars Celebration Chicago and I had a great time. It was a lot of fun. I got to have some very cool experiences related to Star Wars and the end of the Skywalker saga that I don't think I'll ever get to have again. but it sucks to have something so special and so exciting get canceled, especially in a time like this. But it is heartening to know that it is being rescheduled and that they are letting people transfer their tickets if they want or get refunds if they want, though the refunds are not full. They are refunds minus service fees. So keep that in mind if you bought tickets.
Yeah, it is what it is. I'll be interested to see if, because I'm really thinking about it. Was there anything really big to even show or announce? I'm sure most of it's Star Wars. Probably stuff was kept a secret from us. But if I were to really think of like something big that could have been shown and debuted at Celebration, it probably would have been the first trailer for season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
You would think that maybe they'll just release that around this time frame that this celebration was supposed to happen.
Yes, I would say, I mean, a lot of conventions are doing online presentations with all of this going on. So maybe they will choose to do that instead, do like a Star Wars show thing with Anthony Carboni and Andy from the show hosting it. The only things that I could think of, because this year honestly was going to be kind of a slow year for Celebration because all the big stuff happened last year. The only things that I could think of would be season 2 of Mando, Kenobi show, Cassian show, a new video game, maybe. And that would be it. Maybe announcing the next Star Wars film, the one that Taika's working on. But that is all I can think of, and it would have been like a great year if you had never been to a celebration before, just to kind of like ease into it, because it's an experience, it's a whole thing. But now that it's been rescheduled to 2022, that is when the first new Star Wars film was supposed to come out.
Is that one in Taika's? Because I know isn't Ryan still working on his trilogy?
The last I saw him say on Twitter, yes. But I don't think his is coming first anymore. Because originally it was going to be D&D from Game of Thrones doing theirs first, right. And then they got fired.
Right.
So now it's, and the lady that did Russian Doll, the Netflix show, she's doing a show too. So they probably would have talked about that. Now I think Taika is going first, and I feel like Ryan's is just in the perpetual in development stage.
Right.
So we'll see. I don't know. Yeah.
And Squadrons too, because they just showed the first trailer for Squadrons. Maybe that was something that we're gonna hold for Celebration, and then they just decided to release it now since it got canceled.
They're showing it at EA Play on Thursday, gameplay of it, because today they only showed like an in-game engine rendered cinematic trailer. Right. So they probably would have had like a whole panel on it like they did with Fallen Order last year, which was a super cool panel. So, it could be anything at this point. But now we won't know unless they decide to, because I saw someone on Twitter who works for ABC as a correspondent insinuate that they would push things to D23, like Destination D or something.
Really?
Yeah, depending on...
D's not that big of an event, though.
Yeah, well, we're not having a regular D23 this year. So,
true. I mean...
That's just what he said, because I saw that and I was like, that's weird, but okay. Because he said, depending on how, like, the situation and how the COVID world progresses, they would push certain news to D23. Or do a D23 next year is maybe what he meant.
Could be.
I don't know.
Huh. Lots of things to speculate, but it is what it is. Still going to get some more Star Wars content.
Yeah, plenty. That game looks really cool, too.
Yeah, it does.
Last thing for my news in the queue is Born Stunktacular. Is now in technical rehearsal at Universal Studios Florida. And woo! Apparently it is badass.
I've heard lots of good things about the show.
So many good things.
I've seen the only negative things I've seen, especially on our video we posted today of the queue and the pre-show, are obviously people who haven't even gone to see it yet and haven't even seen the show yet, because videos are not allowed in the show, regardless of what people may tell you. Anyway, we'll so you can't judge the show based on the pre-show and the queue, obviously. Like, those are just the build-up to the main attraction. And from what I have seen of the main attraction from various things that have leaked on Twitter from people who don't know how to listen. It looks really, really cool. And all of the things I've read about from people who have seen it and their reviews, like, it's exactly what we had talked about. I feel it is a great indoor stunt show that utilizes the most current technology to really sell these visuals and these stunts. And I'm just so excited, because it's great to have a stunt show back at Universal Orlando.
Yeah. And writing about it today, I was, because they have a breakdown of all the various technological aspects of the show. I couldn't say that. And it just sounds crazy. Like, they have a moving LED screen that's kind of like the volume. If you've been watching Disney Gallery,
Real quick, spoilers for those who are trying not to learn anything about the show.
Okay, anyway, they have a screen that sort of makes a moving set for them that is, the only comparison I've seen online is to the volume, which was used in The Mandalorian, which, if you've been watching Disney Gallery on Disney Plus, they go over that, and it's like a big room that full of LED screens that simulate environments.
Expand on that point. There is video you can actually see. Back before everything closed down, the Today Show went behind the scenes of the Born Stuntacular. And if you watch that piece, you can probably go to YouTube and search for Born Stuntacular Today Show. They show how some of this works in terms of the physical sets moving with the giant LED screen. And there's one shot that I saw in that package where it looks like the way the physical set is turning with the background moving, it looks like you are sitting there watching a live helicopter shot in a movie. Like, it just looks so cool.
And there is a lift underneath the stage that moves all of the various vehicles up and down above the stage, below the stage. There's fire effects. There's wind. There's water. There's a 22-foot free fall. There's also another free fall on top of that. They just didn't say how high it was.
It's a stunt show, so it's really, really cool. They're implementing all these different types of stunts and physical effects and an indoor air conditioned theater. Oh,
for 20 minutes. And they, from what I saw of the vloggers who went in and did not record during the show, they socially distanced everyone by party, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about sitting too close to a stranger.
Right.
But it seems like a great way to get out of the heat and see some really cool stuff happening. Movie magic.
Yeah. So I can talk a little bit about this now that the ride has started opening. Way back last year or earlier this year, I think it was last year at this point, I got to go to Universal and be part of the filming for the pre-show of this attraction. And from what I've seen so far, the show is still very much in technical rehearsals, and it doesn't feel like the entire queue pre-show is running at this point, because the videos I've seen, people are walking in and the screen is turned off. And then at some point, the screen just fades in and starts the last like 30 seconds of this cue video before it goes into the actual pre-show. So I feel like this pre-show, the cue video is supposed to be playing while people walk in the entire loop, and then it goes into the pre-show. It just feels like it starts a little late. So that's what I'm hoping, because the video they're showing before the pre-show starts is of guests walking through the screening process of the queue. And it's like a security cam footage, and they're like zooming in on people's faces and identifying who they are. And that's what I was a part of. I was in that line. We went through about 5 times, so they get different angles and different takes. And I was more toward the beginning of the line. I was probably the, I'd say, 20th person in from the beginning of the line. The video I've seen so far that they are showing only shows maybe the last 30 seconds, so maybe 30 people walking through the line. So it makes me think there's still more to be seen. I'm hoping, because I want to be part of this. I want to be seen in an attraction pre-show. That would be freaking amazing. So I'm hopeful that we'll see more of that gag when the ride gets out of technical rehearsals. But that's my hope, and that's basically what we did. We just kind of walked through 5 times, get the different angles, and then they're now have us up there as security footage for before the pre-show starts, which is pretty cool.
So if you're listening and you go to one of these technical rehearsal shows and you see Banks in the queue video, snap a pic and tweet it at him so please, he knows.
Please let me know, because I it's been dreamed to be in a pre-show in a queue video. I hope this happens.
Well, I mean, I can't wait until we can get video of it so I can see it.
Yeah. I don't know if they're ever going to allow video of the show itself.
Maybe like highlights or something.
Yeah. Hopefully Universal will send out some B-roll or something that we can throw up there as a little look at the show.
Yeah. And all that's right.
That is it from the news in the queue this week. So moving on to the main attraction this week, and the main attraction we're going to keep relatively short because we are coming up here on about 41, 42 minutes. This past weekend, I alluded to it earlier in the episode, I went over to Legoland, Florida to stay the night at their brand new Pirate Island Hotel. So I want to give some thoughts on the experience. And I think I've talked about my experience going into Legoland itself since they've reopened. I've talked about that on a past episode, so I won't get into that too much. But the Pirate Island Hotel opened officially on June 1st. It was supposed to open in April, but everything closed down and it had to be delayed, of course. But it did open on June 1st. And it is, you know, if you've ever stayed at any of the Legoland hotels, they have the regular Legoland Hotel and they have the Legoland Beach Retreat. It's always a fun experience, especially if you're a Lego fan, because you're staying in these rooms with Lego models adorning the walls, oversized Lego pieces as theming. And this one is very well themed to pirates. The Legoland Hotel, each floor of its hotel has a different theme. Like there's they do have a pirate, but they're currently changing that over to the Lego Movie since they have a whole pirate hotel now. But there's like adventure and kingdom and things like that. So it's cool to see like a giant theme hotel instead of just individual floors. And I really did like the experience.
So what kind of, what was your room like that you stayed in? If you could describe it for us.
The rooms at the Pirate Island are all the same theme. They are very much colorful and piratey. The rooms in the rooms are the same layouts that they have at the regular hotel as well. You walk in, the to the right or to the left, depending on which side you're on, is the kids areas with a bunk bed and a trundle that pulls out. And they have their own Lego buckets and you know, pieces you can build and have fun with. And then you have the bathroom and then the main bed for the adults. So very colorful. And the room, if you want to see what the room looks like, we have a room tour already available on our YouTube channel over at youtube.com/attractionsmagazine. The really fun thing that I love about Legoland hotel rooms, and this is like this at any Legoland hotel that you stay at, they have scavenger hunts for kids. So there will always be a safe and a Lego figure right next to the door when you walk in. And there's a sheet that you can pick out and you go on a scavenger hunt around the room and answer the questions that are on the sheet. And the number sequence of your answers will be the number sequence of the safe in your room. And every day you can open it up and you will get a treasure of things in there that's yours to keep.
Huh. That's so neat.
We opened ours up and we had two Pirate Island pirate eye patches. We had a storybook about the theme and the story of Pirate Island Hotel. And then we also had some apple juices in there and two blind bags of Lego Movie 2 minifigures.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
And it's, like I said, it's free for the taking if you participate in it. And every day they put new things in there. So you could get something different if you're staying more than one night. One thing I want to mention, and I want to give a huge thanks to everyone over at the Legoland Florida PR team, because we were there hosted. We were hosted. We were there covering for Attractions Magazine, so they did comp us the stay. And as part of the celebration of the opening of the Pirate Island Hotel, they gifted us with this special Lego model of a pirate treasure chest that when you opened it up, they had chocolate coins in there for us. So it's a really cool thing. It's one of my favorite things about covering Legoland Florida for Attractions Magazine is the big events. They always have these special models for the media to take home with them. So this is, I think, my sixth or seventh model now. I've got one, like a clapboard from the Lego Movie 4D. I've got a ride vehicle from Ninjago. I've got the triple decker couch and the taco everyday stand from Lego Movie World. I've got a, you've got one, right?
I do. I was just looking for it.
I was going to say the Great Lego Race. It's a trophy cup.
Yes. But then they also made a minifigs of me and Vincent when we did Mel there. And that was so sweet. And I've kept it, held onto it. It's with all my attractions, tchotchkes and things.
I got one from the opening of the Legoland Beach Retreat, which is the lighthouse that stands over there. So yeah, it's always those, you know, they are special things for the media. So I feel bad telling you guys, cause you're not gonna be, but you can always, they are made of Lego. So if I sent you a photo, you could build one yourself. Cool thing about it. But yeah, so Legoland, if you stay at Legoland Hotel, it's very much the same experience with the rooms. They have a restaurant called the Shipwreck Restaurants, which is a family style dinner and breakfast. So you just
looks really good.
Oh my gosh. You sit down and they just bring a giant skillet out with all the food and fixings right there. You don't have to get up and go to a buffet. It's really, I was shocked how much the ribs, the spare ribs that they have there. Some of the best ribs I've ever had at any restaurant anywhere.
Wow. Just
so juicy, fall off the bone. The barbecue sauce was so sweet. Like, oh, I want to go back right now and have some more. It was so, so, so good. And they had all the social distancing measures in place as well. You didn't have, Legoland's not required to wear a mask, but they do encourage it. They had some pirate entertainers there. They had their own special themed masks that they were wearing. The elevators, they say, are now VIP experiences because it's one party per elevator. And they encourage people to take the stairs too. And they kind of make a fun game out of it. There's like a sign We were on the fifth floor, and there was a sign right by the elevator saying, hey, why don't you go old school and try taking the stairs and make a fun game out of it. Try to stay 6 feet away from the family in front of you and keep on the right. So it's like the signs and the way that they're enforcing the rules are very fun and very cute and very effective.
It sounds super, super kid friendly and crafted with the kids in mind.
It's wholeheartedly kid friendly. They got Lego building stations all over the main entertainment area and like a little kids cave area they can go and explore. And they sanitize the bricks very frequently. They have like a weed killer kind of spray full of sanitizer that they just spray the bricks.
That's mash what them around. I was wondering.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch. You can see a little bit of video of it on our YouTube channel on one of our safety videos from Legoland Florida. And it's interesting to watch them just spray it all over the bricks, kind of use their gloved hands to mix it up, do another coat of spray, and then it dries very, very quickly, and it's safe for the kids to use again. And they That's do it great. Very frequently.
That's great.
Yeah. The Lego Pirate Island Hotel is literally right next to the regular hotel. You can access it from the main lobby of the hotel, which is where you also check in for the Pirate Island. You can use all the amenities at Legoland Hotel and Pirate Island Hotel can be used by any guests staying at those two hotels. So if you want to, if you're staying at Pirate Island and you want to take part in the master model building class they have at the regular hotel, you can sign up and do that. You can eat at the Bricks restaurant or you can eat at Shipwreck. Either one you want to choose, go for it. We actually ate breakfast at Bricks restaurant at the main hotel, and that one's a buffet restaurant. And I was very interested to see how buffet restaurants worked in these times with the social distancing, and it worked very well. We sat down, we got our table, and then you go up there, and just like in the theme park, they have markers on the ground for people to stay 6 feet apart for the buffet line, and then they have model citizens behind the buffet who are then asking you what you're like, and they're getting you your portions of food for you. So it really takes the pressure and the, you know, you don't want other people touching the handles. It's perfectly fine. They're wearing gloves. You don't have to worry about other guests doing it. And they got those markers to keep apart. So I think they did a really good job keeping the buffet and keeping it safe.
See, for me, it's like buffets are like going through airport security check where you feel like you're taking too long and you're in everyone's right. way. So you're trying to like hurry and get your food. So that's great. I'm glad that they are doing it for you. That seems to be just the safest route entirely. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So highly recommend if you ever get a chance, because you know, a lot of people don't really know that Legoland Florida is an entire resort. They now have three hotels you can stay on property, and Pirate Island's a great addition. So if you're wanting to go visit Legoland, I do highly recommend you stay on property and stay at the hotels, because it's the ease of being right there next to the park. And, you know, because the park closes, I think right now they are closing the park around 5 o'clock. So you leave the park early. You go into the hotel and you enjoy all the entertainment and fun stuff there.
Yep. Keep the kids busy.
Exactly. And boy, kids be busy until late the night. And they are going to want to play with their Lego bricks at 11 and midnight. And
yep.
I tell you from experience, that's happening.
Not bitter at all, no Bix.
So, yeah, that was our experience. I'll have some more video from Pirate Island on the YouTube channel at some point this week, early next week. I kind of vlogged it with Spencer and showed it off. So we'll show some more of the hotel over at youtube.com/attractionsmagazine very soon. And yes, everything is indeed awesome.
I'm glad you had such a good time.
I always have a good time when I go to Legoland.
It is the park that's built for kids, you know, and literally, what are we if not giant children?
All right. Well, I think that is going to do it this week for the Attractions Podcast. We have neared the end of the podcast. So, Brittany, where can everyone find you over on the interwebs?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, and occasionally on twitch.tv/BrittPlays with 3 T's. I'm probably going to be tweeting lots of sad stuff this weekend while I'm playing The Last of Us 2. So, prepare yourself for that.
Oh no, get back to Animal Crossing soon.
That's the only thing that's gonna make me happy.
You can find me on Instagram at Disney Goofball, on Twitter at Banks Lee, and of course all of the Attractions Magazine socials on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and attractionsmagazine.com. So yeah, next week I'll be back in Orlando next week. Hopefully, I think we're gonna be driving back starting Saturday, and then we'll get back Sunday afternoon. So we'll have another show next Sunday. In fact, next Sunday we are gonna have a special guest joining us next week. If you are an avid reader of attractionsmagazine.com, or you know, if you've watched the show over the years, you may know the name Jeff DePauly. He will be joining us next week as a special guest. He also does his own podcast called Disney with a Z, Coast to Coast. And he's been writing a new series of articles for us called DePauly on DeParks. So we're going to have him on next week just to join us for the news, and we'll chit chat about his podcast and what he's up to. So I'm excited to have Jeff. And in fact, really cool thing is Jeff is the official voice of Disney trivia on Alexa devices. So if you have an Alexa device and you tell Alexa, play Disney trivia, Jeff is the voice of Disney trivia.
I just had a brilliant idea. What if we make next week's main attraction our own DePauly on DeParks hot topic, like our controversial opinion, and Ooh. Discuss it? Because like his last one on how Poseidon is the hidden gem of Islands of Adventure got
it is
mad attention.
No, and he's wholeheartedly true. It is the hidden gem of Islands of Adventure. I'll send him a message and see if he's got something we can talk about.
Yeah, something spicy.
Get that hot tea with the salt in it. And
pinkies out, my friends. If you guys know that one.
Until next week, everyone, we hope you have a wonderful week, a safe week, but most of all, and most importantly, have fun.
We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.